More and more people are turning to the internet to make a little extra money, but for a growing number of Americans without better job options, low-wage online work is becoming their main source of income. Websites like Crowdflower, ClickWorker, and Amazon's Mechanical Turk provide people with simple, repetitive tasks like filling out surveys or personality questionnaires. The pay for those jobs can be as little as a few pennies, but workers will still spend hours searching and competing for them. Alana Semuels is a staff writer at The Atlantic. She recently wrote a piece exploring this little-known corner of the internet. Alana, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, these are not household words, these companies. Can you tell us a little bit about these companies that are recruiting people to do piecework, I guess, online?
Sure. The biggest one is probably Amazon's Mechanical Turk. And basically, academics or people who are trying to get surveys done or some sort of task work, post these surveys they're just surveys online, and they ask people to do them. They usually pay very little because they're just asking people to work for about 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. And you have a lot of workers signing up.
The idea, I guess, initially the pitch would be, okay, you got a little spare time, you're not really accomplishing anything anyway, you can make a couple bucks, no big deal. But you found that some people are looking at this as an important source of their income.
Right, exactly. For a lot of people in places where there aren't really very many good job options, this seems very appealing at first. It's, I can sit in front of my computer and I can make $100 in a day. Unfortunately, is not actually panning out that way. There's a recent survey that found that people make on average $2 to $4 an hour. So people think that this is very appealing, and there are certainly some people that make a decent amount of money on it. But for the vast majority of people, it's less than the minimum wage, and they're finding them, they're putting a lot of time sitting in front of the computer and not getting any money.
And if I were to go online and do this tonight, I would not be an employee of the company, right? I'm a contractor, basically. What does that mean in a legal sense?
Right. You're an independent contractor, which means you're not covered by minimum wage or overtime protections. It means it's more difficult if you feel like you're being abused by the person asking you to do the tasks. It's more difficult to, ask them for money or, if they don't pay you, it's more difficult. It's just more difficult to kind of get protected by the law. And so that's why, when I first saw this and I saw people are making on average $2 to $4 an hour, I thought, well, that's not legal. The minimum wage, I believe federally it's $7.25. So how are people making less than half of that? But they're not covered by minimum wage protections because they're not actually employees. They're independent contractors.
And you say that, a lot of people are getting paid $2 to $4 an hour. And that's, as I understand it, for the time they're actually working. They actually spend a fair amount of time finding these things. And in some cases, they might do the whole whatever online, whatever that job is, and their work can be rejected and they don't get paid at all.
Right. That's part of the problem, is that if you piecing together all of these little tasks, you're going to spend a lot of time looking for them. You're going to spend a lot of time bidding or, trying to get them instead of other people, because there are a lot of people on these sites. And you're going to spend time reading the directions. You're going to spend time making sure that you understand the directions, and the time that you actually do the tasks is pretty short. And that's what you're getting paid for. So you think about it, someone who drives for, it's similar to someone who drives for Uber. If they decide to drive in, say, Milwaukee instead of, where they live in more rural Wisconsin, they're not getting paid for the time that they're driving to Milwaukee. It's kind of similar. These people aren't getting paid for the time that they're searching for work. They're just getting paid for the work that they do. And so I talked to people that would sit in front of the computer for, 15, 16 hours a day, and they'd make, $20 for the whole day. And that can get really frustrating. I mean, I think probably your listeners have the experience of sitting in front of the computer and not feeling like you're getting anything done. But for a lot of these people, imagine having that feeling, but it's kind of, whether you're going to have enough money to keep the lights on.
Talking to Alana Semuels from The Atlantic about a lesser-known part of the gig economy, people who do work for not much money, little bits and pieces of work online, surveys, reviewing reviews sometimes of restaurants or products or whatever. And Alana, you talked to a woman in Ohio, a 29-year-old woman, used the name Erica. She didn't want to share a real name, I guess, because she did this through the Amazon Mechanical Turk thing, and she didn't want her account to get shut down. So what did you learn about her work day doing this?
Yeah, she was really interesting because she was very smart, very, you know, she has an associate's degree in nursing, but she just said, you know, there's nothing in my Southern Ohio town that I can make a living doing. So she spends about 30 hours a week doing this. She has a 10-hour a week part-time job that pays minimum wage. But, you know, she'll, for example, one of the tasks that she had recently that she said was just totally not mind-numbing was she had to press a key when a blue triangle popped up on her screen. And she'd just, you know, do that for like 15 minutes straight and then, you know, maybe do another one that's similar. And she made $4 to $5 an hour. And she was just finding, you know, although this was initially she thought this was a good option for her to supplement her income, she eventually figured out that she really wasn't making a lot of money doing it. And, you know, she would do tasks sometimes and realize that she didn't do them right. So she'd have to return them to the person who hired her, or she'd do them and then she wouldn't get paid because the person who hired her said, you know, this isn't right. We didn't do this right. So, you know, she really hoped that this would be some sort of savior for her. And for her, it was kind of, you know, she thought it would be a good thing because they pay daily or every other day. Whereas if you do some other job, you get paid, you know, every 2 weeks or twice a month. So it was good for her to get $20 if she had to pay her electrical bill. But sometimes she wouldn't even have that. I think it was really frustrating for her because she thought initially that this would be, you know, a great way to make some extra money. And she really found out quickly that it was much harder than it seemed.
And another wrinkle is that I guess if I went to sign up for this and I looked at a particular job, it would say how much I got paid and how much time it was going to take me. And that time isn't always accurate. Is that right?
Right. So they'll post, you know, they'll say we'll pay you $1 and then they'll say how much time it will take and then they'll put a limit on it. So they'll say you have to do this within 45 minutes. You know, that's one of the reasons the requesters do it is because if they farm out, you know, to 1,000 people and they say they all have to do it in 45 minutes, they're going to get it back much more quickly than if they give it to one person and, you know, have them do 1,000 45 minute segments. But a lot of times the directions will be confusing or people just won't make it in that amount of time. And so that's also really frustrating. Now, there are some kind of workarounds. There are websites, and Reddit is a forum where people talk about the different requests and which ones are good and which ones are bad. But, you know, for someone that doesn't know about those sites or if certain requesters haven't been reviewed yet, then you're still going to run into that problem of running out of time or finding people, you know, getting jobs from people that aren't going to treat you very well.
And you wrote not just about Reddit, but other efforts by people who are doing these kind of jobs to kind of band together a little bit. What are they doing and what are they hoping to change?
Well, there's this project out of Stanford where they basically tried to create a site where all these workers could suggest things to the requesters. So, you know, I think a lot of the requesters are actually pretty open to hearing how they can improve, especially a lot of academics. But, you know, it ultimately came to be that there weren't enough people who are really active. I mean, there's a lot of high turnover in these sites where people start them and then they figure out they can't make any money and then they leave. And, you know, this one site out of Stanford, you actually needed to do a task for Mechanical Turk before you could get into this site. And Amazon figured that out and actually shut down the account that was giving the people the tasks. So it kind of petered out. You know, they changed the format of the website. So another one of these kind of plugins that people download on their browser also went on the fritz. So it seems like every time workers come up with a way to try to make it better, something changes from Amazon or from the other sites that makes it more difficult to do that.
And we have heard a lot about the gig economy over the last bunch of years, whether it's something like Uber or Lyft or services to deliver food or run errands for people, especially in bigger cities. Do you see that maybe we're not taking care of the people doing these jobs? They're not getting the benefits that they were hoping for?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these people don't get any healthcare benefits. They aren't protected by unions by any stretch. They aren't making minimum wage. And so, you know, I think one professor said to me, it's interesting that these people haven't organized or there's no one protecting them. But there's also this kind of stigma around internet work where, you know, if you're working at a McDonald's or you're working for Uber, you're much more visible to people and people know you're doing this to try to make a living. Whereas if you're doing stuff on the internet, people think, oh, you're just doing that to earn some extra cash. You must have another job. We're not going to really worry about you. We're not going to try to organize you. So I think, you know, this is definitely kind of an unseen pool of workers, and especially because it's hard for them to connect with each other. You know, there's no physical connection there. Maybe they'll connect online through different forums, but it's a little harder to kind of get people excited about organizing or about, you know, advocating for protections when you don't actually know what these people look like or where they live. You know, some of them might be living in India or Canada or somewhere else. So it's a big challenge for starting some sort of labor movement or protections for them.
Alana, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Alana Semuels is a staff writer at The Atlantic. She was with us for a look at a growing online industry of crowdsourcing that's paying people fairly low wages for doing repetitive tasks online.